But we left off in Philemon, and this is the small book that I thought would just take no time to go through and could be taught in a Sunday school class. Was I wrong? Some people feel that this book represents a runaway slave, and that it's actually like us, people of the world, that are runaways from Christ, from our Lord. And there's actually a lot of symbolism there, and that only through Jesus Christ that we can be redeemed, like Philemon, redeeming the slave. And looking at this, as we look through how many times God kept moving me more and more, I kept reading this, and the more I read it, the more pieces I can keep unfolding and seeing how not just this book, but other books all come together. In fact, a commentary writes on how Philemon is a little bit like Joseph, where Onesimus was sold, or where Joseph was sold into slavery, Onesimus was in slavery, and how they both ran and were put places or taken places for a certain purpose. Onesimus ran and went to the big city. Well, so did Joseph go to the big city. And both were there for a purpose. So the Holy Spirit behind the scenes can have a lot of things happening. And for myself, as I read this more and more, I find that the Lord is giving me change in my own heart and how to look at things and the purpose and why I look at things. So I can't tell you enough how encouraged is that I am in Philemon. And so, of course, my PowerPoint wants to think now. So let's look at a little review. The writers of Philemon are Paul and Timothy, to Philemon. Philemon is a brother in Christ, which is also part of the faith in loving Jesus Christ. He is the owner of the slave, Onesimus. And this is a letter that they are writing to him in love. It's not a dictation for direction or authority to be given. In fact, the authority is not being used at all. It's communication and asking for wisdom. And how godly men and women can communicate is what we need to look at this as well. It's a great teaching tool. If you're looking at writing a letter to someone and they have authority over you, or you have authority over them, look at how this letter was put together in wisdom and who was communicated to. It wasn't just to Philemon, as we'll see later in the story. And sometimes hard topics that we have to talk over. For myself, sometimes the hard topics are with my children or even with the elder board. And talking over hard topics where steel sharpens steel. You shouldn't walk away from hard topics, folks. Because when we walk away from something that's hard to speak, it doesn't change. It's still there. So being passive about things is not the answer. But doing things in love is. So that's some of the things that we talked about, is that the authority is there, and normally in the world we'd say that authority is rules everything. But we see here spiritually that the Word of God has more authority. So let's get ready to soak this in. Let's pray together. In fact, I'm going to ask you guys to step out and do something you haven't done before. Because I really want you to be praying with me, not just listening to me. Can you raise one hand? I'll wait until you all raise your hand, David. Raise one hand and pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that your word be revealed to me and be life-changing. Amen. When a pastor prays, it's just not to listen to him. You're supposed to sometimes join in. So that the Word of God impacts us. That's the most important thing. In fact, I did not know that Andrew was going to read the earlier passage. And when he read that passage, it was so encouraging that it wasn't about the music. It was about the Word of God being in us. And it never goes away void. So let's start. Philemon. And we're going to be in verse 8. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you, now this is Paul and Timothy writing, but it's Paul speaking to Philemon, I can order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I do not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be done voluntarily. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. Amen. This will be the passage part that we'll be looking at today. In verse 8, Paul makes a statement. I have authority to order you, and you can put your own name in there, to do what you ought to do. How many of us enjoy having people authority over us? I actually do, because it gives me boundaries. But sometimes people have authority over us, we kind of get upset with a little bit. Kind of like when you're not driving the speed limit and you get pulled over, you kind of don't like the police. I mean, they didn't do anything wrong. They have the authority. We're the ones that did something wrong. But until we really realize that, and I've been convicted of my speeding, that they're the authority for a purpose. Or avoid paying taxes and you have an audit. How frustrating that may be. That authority all of a sudden becomes a pain in our side. Or as well as the garden. How many of us have had gardens? I have one myself that I never weeded this year, and it looks like it. In fact, the weeds overtook and taken the garden, and I don't have much plants left. And then what the garden didn't take over, the deer did. And looking at our bosses, sometimes we look at our boss and we're just not happy with them. So we don't like that authority, and sometimes people become passive-aggressive against that piece, and even sometimes the children become not happy with authority. And sometimes we stop our relationships because of authority and we're unhappy with. And we don't have that relationship, and it breaks apart. Paul didn't want division. He didn't want authority to be used. Yet, he preferred to appeal to Philemon on basis of love. He wants to be working with him on a spiritual level. That I could tell you what to do, yet I want to appeal to you in love. It's a much higher level. Looking back, actually, at the first part of Philemon here in verse 2, Paul and Timothy also wrote to Aphelia. That would be Philemon's wife. And Archippus. And that would be his son. He included them in the letter, as well as he included the church. And he was so wise to do this, because he wants to break down any chance of division. He wants to have unification on this letter and to cut down the rumor mill. I mean, number one problem people have is they sometimes get input or rumors or pressures from others to do what is right. And you got to remember, Onesimus is coming back, and when he comes back, the right thing is to do what? You kill the slave, or you punish them so severely that they wouldn't leave again. But Paul was wise to include others, to reduce the rumor mill, to bring the peace together that brings things out in the public. That's another thing too. Behind closed doors, what is written behind closed doors and communicated, sometimes if brought to light in the truth, what the Word of God tells us to bring things to light in truth, brings things to be more done in love. Things that have been done behind the scenes sometimes are not always the best, because they're not, well, the truth isn't brought out. This picture, a few weeks back, I've seen, and it was put on my heart to remember it, and I believe it was for this time. And I'm going to read the words. Looking back over my life, you see that love was the answer to everything. I really believe this to be true. And I think Paul knew this. Is that things done in love are done for the right reason. Things that are done in love are out in the open. And this letter is being written in love for Philemon as well as Onesimus. For both of these men. And in verse 9, they write, Yet I prefer to appeal to you basis on love. When you want something, sometimes you just want it. But it's not done in love. And when we look at this, what is the normal thing in this world to do is to just want and not do the right thing. Sometimes the hard questions are asked in love. Sometimes you have to ask yourself hard questions in love. Do I have an addiction to this? Do I put what's in my life in front of God? That's asking yourself a hard question. But doing it in love allows you the ability to know the truth. And by having the truth, you can correct things. And that's what this letter is about, correcting a spiritual truth. In fact, Dan can be my witnesses. Sometimes I'm come around this church and I'm very annoying in love when I say, hey, do the lights need to be on upstairs when nobody's home? And I'm picking on outposts because the lights may be on in the church and they're down in a meeting. Or I'm picking on different things so that in love we're doing things correctly. Not to bring division, but unification. And in verse 9, he writes, It is as none other than Paul. It's me, Paul, writing this. In fact, some of the spots it actually says that he's writing it in his hand. He wants people to know that it's his penmanship taking the writing skill here. And as an old man, now a prisoner for Christ, Paul uses a statement again in 2 Timothy 2 about the suffering he writes about. And he's writing to Philemon, a Christian that he is mentoring. Now, some of us should be mentoring others in this church. I'll be honest. Because of, through mentoring, the mentor receives something, but the mentees are able to grow even more in the Word of God. We have some strong Christians in this church that I would love to see invite others. And through small groups, I'd like to see some more small groups be kicking off. And people opening their home to be mentors and share with others. These relationships that can be built so much deeper. In fact, I did not realize that in the bulletin, it was talking about Russia and the Ukraine at this time. But it's in my sermon notes. So if you want to come, you know, check my notes that were here before I seen the printed version. That we look at pastors that are dying and willing to fight for the Word of God over there that are being persecuted and suffering just as Paul was writing, suffering for Christ. They are at war. making the difference. Paul, a prisoner of Christ, when he was writing this, I believe it was a twofold meaning. Yes, he was talking about his physical being. I am in chains. I am in prison. That was the physical aspect. But I think we need to look at the spiritual aspect as well. Because I agree with some of the commentaries that are talking about the life that he lived was for the Lord. In fact, the Bible tells us that we should pick up our cross. And that the yoke is light, because we're with the Lord. The Lord is with us on the other side. But we should be picking up our cross to serve the Lord. And as Paul is doing this, he's talking about a spiritual choice. That he wanted to enter into the military fighting with Jesus for the Word of God. And it's a spiritual battle that he's in. The spiritual battle is that he wanted to be a bondservant. How many of you heard the word bondservant before and know what it is? Okay, there's a few of us that understand this. And that's a great piece. And so for some of you, this may be a chance to double check me. Am I teaching it properly? And for others of us, we need to look at what a bondservant may be. But it's a person that's given up their free will. The Mosaic law allowed for a bondservant to voluntarily say, I want to stay with this master that I owed money to, that I have the right to leave now. And in fact, the Jew, every 7 years, the servants would be allowed to go. And if you didn't want to leave and you had a great master, you would say, I don't want to leave. I am enjoying serving underneath this master. But you had to do some things. You had to first say that you love your master. Paul did this. I love my master. I love my Lord. And that you also needed to look at caring for the people you're responsible for, men. Men, we are responsible to care for our wives, love them, nurture them, as Christ has loved the church. And then looking at, I've seen a few people out there nudge their husbands. I'm sure glad I'm up here because my wife would have gave me one right in the ribs. And hopefully I'm doing a good job. And if I'm not, I'm working to do better. What I'm looking at is that they would need to go in front of a judge to declare this. And when they declared that they loved their master, they also needed to declare they loved their wife and loved their children because this is the best thing for their family. To become a bondservant. And then the judge would okay it. And then they would take that servant home. And then we'd take an object like an owl. Or otherwise, some of us would understand and look at it and say, oh, that's an ice pick. And if you don't know what an ice pick just is, just think of a screwdriver that's no good anymore and it's rounded at the end. Because they would take that and they have the bondservant go up against the door. And they would pierce their ear. And the blood on the door and the symbolism on that would show that they would be indebted to that master forever. Forever. Abraham was talked about being a servant in Genesis and Numbers. That he was a servant to the Lord. Just as Paul is saying that here. As well as Joshua did in the book of Joshua. And looking at also, David did in 2 Samuel. All of these individuals say they're sold out for the Lord. That's what Paul is saying, is I'm sold out for the Lord. And why is this important? Because from a humble, noble position, he's writing this letter and not using his authority. He's doing it in love. Paul has established that he is a servant. And in verse 10, he's also going to be talking about, well, let's just read it here. That I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Onesimus, a runaway slave, come to the big city to get lost. That's not the verse. The verse actually stops at, while he was in chains. While Paul was in chains, Onesimus came to him and accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, transforming him from a useless man to a man with a purpose. I don't know how many of you heard me say about Acts 1:8 or Matthew 28 that our job is to share our faith. Hey, we got a hayride coming up. Bring somebody. Because what a great way to share your faith. Food and fun. For Christ is actually working through these individuals. And it's promising to see that this sermon isn't about just any one problem. It's very, very, how would I say? The more I read the Word of God, the more the books come together. And what you're seeing in Philemon is echoing different pieces that Paul is teaching in other places, as well as the Old Testament, is that we have a purpose. And as Christians, we have a master to follow, just as Onesimus did. As a slave, he had no value, but as a brother in Christ, he has great value to Paul that's in prison, as well as his owner, Philemon. He has value. And through you redeeming him and not killing him, Philemon, Onesimus will go on to do greater things. Taking time to invest in others. This broken old rake here, I would consider actually useless. And if you know me, I would have recycled it into scrap metal to get a few pennies. But this rake, when somebody thinks about it and transforms it, changes. In verse 11, formerly Onesimus was useless to you, but now has become useful both to you and me, Paul is writing. Onesimus was a slave, a runaway slave of no value, just like we are. Without Christ, we have no value, for we are going to hell. But through the redeeming love of Jesus Christ, we're put in the mission field to share the word. As believers, we have greater value. Paul is writing this to Philemon, is that Onesimus has greater value because he knows the Lord. So Paul talked Onesimus in going back and sent him back. How would you like to be the runaway slave that has a letter in your hand? That's all you have is a letter. And you're going to give this to your master that has the right to kill you or beat you to a pulp, put you back into slavery. All you have is a letter. What faith that must have took. How many of us have a heart to go back and look at bringing something to someone else and giving them the right over you and authority to work through past issues? He goes on to write in 13, I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in the chains for the gospel. This letter is being written first for Onesimus to correct what has happened, to correct an action, to correct that his running away was wrong and that he needs to come underneath that authority, putting his life on the line, that he could be killed. What faith that must have took to listen to Paul, to take this letter back to Philemon. How many of us have problems in our lives? And I don't want to see your hands, because you know what? If you're not raising your hand, you're not being honest. I'll tell you the truth. Okay? Each and every one of us have a sin somewhere in our lives that we need to work through. Or something that was done wrong to us. Even me. You might be unhappy with me. You need to work through difficulties. And through working through them and bringing them in light, in love, working through them, it brings you freedom. Just this alone could be a sermon in itself, looking at the freedom you receive by going back and working through difficult things. I counsel a few people that are non-members of this church. And it's amazing to see the life transforming in them and the Christ Jesus growing in them as they work through difficult topics. Where Satan had them under control and bound them into thinking that they're no good, that they have no purpose. Just think of this. Onesimus was a runaway slave. What was he looking forward in life? It's kind of like being an immigrant here that didn't have your papers. What are the odds that they would be able to be very successful without having a Social Security card, without having the abilities to move up in a company because of they can only work menial jobs, they get paid cash? But by addressing this and dealing with it, the sin is taken away. That fear is taken away. The lie of Satan is taken away and given freedom to make things correct. In verse 14, "But I do not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary." He's asking Philemon to voluntarily look at this. Like we accept Christ in our own free will, he wants to Philemon to accept Onesimus back. But not as a slave, but as an equal, a brother in the Lord. The Word of God is much deeper than we can really understand. The more I read it, the less I really know. But the more I know of it, the more it all works together for the truth. And what a difference it made in Onesimus' life. It made a difference forever. And we'll tell you about that a little later and some of the things that he did. Because Philemon didn't kill him, which he had the right to do. He redeemed him. In fact, Philemon made the choice to be different and not follow the worldly things. He made a choice to leap out. You got it? You like it? Leap. Leap out of the world and leap into a spiritual truth, something much deeper. That through the changing of Onesimus' faith changed who he was. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're no longer of this world. You are transformed. In fact, when the Word of God, and I read it, and it said that we become brothers and sisters to Christ, does this even make sense? We become equals. I mean, it's hard to understand that a slave can become an equal to the master. And much less we become brothers and sisters with Jesus. In verse 15 and 16 reads, "Perhaps the reason he was separated, Onesimus, from you, let me just paraphrase this, because I don't have to read it word for word. Why we were separated, there must have been a purpose. For without that purpose of being separated, you may have never thought of him being an equal. He may have never accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, because it was Paul that brought that light to him. And it was never clear that he could be your equal. As I'm getting older, I'm starting to realize, some of us that may have some older kids can agree with me, that as your kids grow up, they will always be your kids. They'll always be your children. But as they grow up, they become more equal. And I'll tell you this right now, as my kids start to turn into their early 20s, they become more peers. Or not peers, but they become... How do I say this? They become more equal. They become part of a family of a different type. And I'll always be their father, but I'm probably trying to say less and do more with them. Have less authority over them and ask to have more ability to speak with them. And it's hard. I don't do a good job of it, right, Justine? I do a better job of telling, and I'm working on trying to be a better job of speaking together. But looking at this, is that separation may have a purpose. And Satan may have brought it in to bring division, but what Satan used for evil, God can use for good, and Paul brought him back and said, no, go back to Philemon and work this out. Come underneath his authority, and if you're punished, you're punished, but it's going to be a choice that'll make a difference. Some of us believe that wasn't good. Some of us believe, oh, that wasn't good at all, that equality is not obtainable. We can never be like another Christian. I can never go back to talk to that person that I sinned against or sinned against me because it would be uncomfortable. Allow your baggage to sometimes be left at the cross and work through some of these difficult things, and you will find freedom, I promise you. Luther, actually, I like that he actually writes this. Philemon and Onesimus were two Christians that their relationship had been transformed in the flesh. Philemon has a brother for his slave. And in the Lord, Philemon has a slave for his brother. Think about this. Our relationships matter. We are relationship beings. I don't know if you've heard me preach on this before, but I believe that God put us on this planet for relationships, to share His love and to have His love, and through that relationship with God, be light to others. And I can't say to you guys enough, open the Word of God. The more I take time to open the Word of God and study it, the more energy I am feeling and I understand how the book is meant to be. Is it just keeps building on itself. It's like a novel that never stops, that keeps breathing the Word. Don't stop reading the Word of God. And don't just come here on Sunday to hear it. Let the Holy Spirit move on you to read the book. Because I can tell you this I had to go look this verse up, or this person up, because I was told this when I was younger, and it has made a difference in my life. Because looking at sometimes things that are very hard and impossible are only impossible if we stop. Firsthand, I was never supposed to graduate. Second, I was never supposed to be able to go to college. Third, people said I would never grow up. Well, they were right on that. I never really grew up maturely-wise or height-wise. But I'm okay with that because I've worked through them things. But God was with me each and every walk. And the love of Christ, and people would then get involved. And I didn't let the hard things get in the way. Onesimus did not let his slavery bring him down. The love of Jesus Christ worked through him. So remember this. If you walk away from here and you only take one nugget, I want you to remember that God wants greater things for you. And do not let Satan get in the middle and say, you can't do it. Because you can. I promise you, with Christ, all things can be done. Amen. I like hearing good amens out there. In fact, I miss Vicky, because she'd say amen so much. Anybody noticed? It might be nice to give Vicky a call. Working on good communication and to be clear, to the point, in love, sometimes as Christians we need to be. I mean, let's be truthful. I need to pick on somebody. And I don't have anybody right next to me, so we're going to call this person Bill, because I don't know any Bills in the church. And Bill here has a problem with sin. As a brother in Christ, am I supposed to just let Bill live with it and not address it when I know it? You guys are looking at me like for the answer. I want to see some heads going, no. As a brother in Christ, we need to sometimes come up and address some of these things, not to put them down, but to bring them up. Paul came right out to Onesimus and said, hey, you need to go deal with that slavery thing. You need to wipe that away. You need to take that away so it's not being a thorn in your side. So Satan is not using it against you. Go deal with it. And sometimes we need to walk together with our brother. As Timothy and Paul walked with Onesimus, and he walked through all the trials and tribulations with him, writing this down, sending the letter back with him, so the rest of the story. We have more to go on. I'm not going to keep preaching on this because we have some more verses to come. But I want you to remember this, is that Onesimus went on to do great things. Philemon accepted him as a brother in Christ. And we're going to hear more of that coming up here. And he went on. Onesimus went on to make a big impact. He was one of the first bishops that both the Catholic Church... Let's go back. The little c. Sometimes I'll have to teach you the difference between a little c and a big c. But the little c, Catholic meaning Christianity, he was a bishop in. That both the Catholic Church, the big c, and the Greek Orthodox Church recognize him for the impact he made for Christ. So sometimes working through some of these difficult things we need to work through. For what the outcome is, even greater, greater things Christ can do because you're willing to be a part of it. So think of that little nugget to take away. What things can I work through that I can take out that Satan will have no stronghold in my life? No matter how big they are, how can I work through them? And how can we care for each other in the love of Christ? Now, I don't want everybody to go around to everybody like, you know, all of a sudden it's my turn to go around and I'm going to go around and say, and you're sinful and you're sinful and you're sinful, and then you become a judge. No, because we don't have that authority to be a judge. Let's just stop that. But in love, walk with someone. Because if you're willing to say something, it's just not say it. It's come alongside and walk with them. Okay? So let's close in prayer. And let's have the band come up. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God. For the Word of God is transforming us. We've heard this today, and may it be something that just impact us all the way through our life, is that the Word of God in us allows us to have a deeper relationship with you, Lord. May we pray without ceasing, but even more, may we seek your Word to help teach us, to give us wisdom beyond anything we could worldly think or understand. May the teaching of the Word help us in our walk and serving others in love. We pray this in your name, in your Heavenly Father. Amen.